The title of our Sunday school lesson today is Respect the House of God. And our devotional and background study comes from Isaiah chapter 56, verses 1 through 7. Thus saith the Lord, keep ye judgment and do justice, for my salvation is near to come and my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man that doeth this, and the son of man that layeth hold on it, that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and keepeth his hand from doing any evil. Neither let the son of the stranger that hath joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, the Lord hath utterly separated me from his people. Neither let the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. For thus saith the Lord unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbaths, and choose the things that please me, and take hold of my covenant, even unto them will I give in mine house and within my walls a place and a name better than of sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Also the sons of the strangers that join themselves to the Lord to serve him and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, every one that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it and taketh hold on my covenant, even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. Would there be any announcements before we go to our class? If not, let's go to our Sunday school class.
Our lesson today is taken from the 19th chapter of Luke, verses 37 through 46. And the title of it is Respect the House of God. And the writer begins, and this is speaking of Jesus, and when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Now, that is taken from the 118th division of Psalms, more or less. And we have Jesus making his way to Jerusalem, knowing that his days are growing short. He makes his way to Jerusalem for his final hours. And in the 21st chapter of Matthew's writing, it kind of expounds on this entering of Jerusalem a little bit more in the 21st chapter of Matthew, verses 9. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, translated, means save now. And when he was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? And the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. Now, this is where he went in on the donkey, if you remember, and they put their cloaks over the donkey, and he sat astride the animal, and they rode into the city on palm leaves. And this is, you know, this is where we get to Sunday before his resurrection. They say that this was a week before he was before he rose. So you have Palm Sunday because they laid down palm branches for him to ride in on. So this was his triumphant entry into Jerusalem. And there was a huge multitude of people that were following him. And, you know, they kind of, the multitude, the size of the people, rather clashed with the priest and the priesthood because of the power that Jesus had over the people, over his multitude that followed followed him, and they were extremely jealous to a certain extent of this. And so it says that, and some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples, because they were rejoicing. Now imagine today if we were having a good spiritual service and somebody tried to quiet us down. That's basically what's going on here. The people were rejoicing around Jesus, and the Pharisees that were mixed in amongst the crowds, probably as spies more so than trying to be disciples, they chastised him and told him to get them to quiet down, to not be so boisterous. And I can see that happening today in churches around even Nashville today. I can see that happening. If somebody got spiritually, you know, in the moment and began to shout or testify or something, I can imagine people today trying to get them to quiet down and not make such a outroar. But listen to what Jesus said. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Which I think to mean his calling of who he was could not be denied by man or nature themselves. That these people cried out because they knew he was who he was, that he was the Son of God. And nature itself knows who their creator is basically what he's saying. So it doesn't make any difference whether it's them. If they quit, nature itself will cry out that I am the Son of God, is what he is telling this person. And he was come, and when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it. Now, I want you to know that he wept, because he knew that even with all the accolades that he was being given, the city and the people themselves were doomed for their unbelief. Now, in the 11th chapter of Luke, in the 46th verse, we find Jesus saying to the Pharisees, to the lawyers and the priesthood, well, let me back up to the 44th scripture. This is Jesus. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are as graves which appear not, and the men that walk over them are not aware of them. Then answered one of the lawyers and said unto him, Master, thus saying thou reproachest us also. In other words, you've insulted us by what you just said. And Jesus said, and he said, Woe unto ye also, ye lawyers. Those are people who were experts in the law, experts in the Mosaic law. Woe unto you also, ye lawyers, for ye laid men with burdens grievous to be borne. In other words, you burden men with these burdens that are grievous to be borne. And ye yourselves touch not the burdens with one of your fingers. Woe unto you, for ye build the sepulchres of the prophets, and your fathers kill them. Truly, ye bear witness that ye allow the deeds of your fathers, for they indeed killed them, and ye build their sepulchres. Therefore also said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay and persecute, that the blood of all the prophets, which was shed from the foundation of the world, may be required of this generation, from the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, which perished between the altar and the temple. Verily I say unto you, it shall be required of this generation. Woe unto you, lawyers, for ye have taken away the key of knowledge. Ye entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering in ye hindered. Now, let me break this down as what Jesus has just told these people. He's basically called them a bunch of hypocrites. He said they put burdens on the people that they will themselves not follow. He said you raise sepulchres to the prophets whom your fathers killed. So your fathers kill them, and you, by your position, you agree to that, but yet to show the people or to be close to the people, you build, you raise sepulchers to them, you put statues and you build altars and you say this is dedicated to this one and this is dedicated to that one, yet you are agreeable to their death to begin with. And he says, woe unto you because your blood will be required in this generation. In other words, for your sins, your blood is required now. So when he looked at Jerusalem, he wept, because even though all these people were around him shouting glad tidings and hosannas, he knew that that what he had prophesied just a few, a little time before was fixing to come true. That Jerusalem itself would fall and the blood of all the prophets that had been slain and for the actions that they had, were about to take. They hadn't took yet, but were about to take, and that was his crucifixion and his death, that that sin was coming to an end, and they would be destroyed. So it says here, and he, when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it. And listen to what he says, saying, if thou hast known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are laid, they are hid from thy eyes. For the day shall come upon thee that thy enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee around and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. Israel had failed to understand who Jesus was. And he said they knew not the time of his visitation. They didn't know, they refused to believe that he was the Son of God. And in a little while after this, they hung him on the cross and he died. And this happened around 33 AD in that area. In 70 AD, which would be what, 37 years later, Jerusalem was surrounded by the Roman army. They laid siege to it, which is what he said. He said they built trenches around there and you can't go in or out. And they totally destroyed the city. They didn't leave one stone unturned, and they say that millions of people starved to death during this siege of Jerusalem. So what Jesus had proclaimed came true, and the people of Israel suffered because of their unbelief, just as people today will suffer for their unbelief. There's no difference between then and now, because people do not believe today, and they will suffer tremendously for their unbelief. So after Jesus has spoken these words, it says, and he went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold therein and them that bought, saying unto them, it is written, my house is a house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. Now, they had turned the temple now into almost a bazaar-like atmosphere where things were bought and sold. And they had left their calling. I mean, they were to be the temple was built to be the house of God. And here you had money changers. You had people coming from all over the area to the temple. And the money that you could donate to the cause of the priesthood, you had to change to some sacred coin that the temple provided. So whatever coins you had, whether they were Roman or Greek coins or whatever, wherever the coins came from, you had to exchange them there at the temple for these sacred coins that you could purchase a dove or sacrifice or pearl, whatever you could afford, you could purchase for a blood sacrifice. And this angered Jesus because It was like a bazaar, a flea market, you might say. And that angered him from what the house became, his house had become, and he cleared them out. And he told them, my house is a house of prayer. And now we get down to today, the church. Now, this building is just a building. But we, as members of the Lord's church, are the church. We are the people. We could sit out there in the middle of the road. As long as we're in a group, we're the church sitting out there in the middle of the road. We don't have to have this building. But because God has been merciful to us and because he's been so gracious to us, he has provided us with means to have this building that we have. And I think because of what it is, what it stands for, not that it is the church, it's just a building, but for what it is for us, we ought to give it our best. We ought to make it the best place possible. And when we come in, we need to be on our best behavior possible. And we need to give God honor and glory amongst ourselves and thank him for what he has allowed us to have. And not let this become as what Jesus found in the temple, as a bazaar. And we ought to come in and humble ourselves and respect the house of God. We can call this the house of God if you want to, but you know, like I said, we are the church, and when we're together, this is the house of God because we're the church and we're meeting in this house. So what goes on here should be done with our as much humbleness and a desire to serve God as humanly possible. When the church joins together to worship, we must come with our best intentions. And, you know, I don't see a thing wrong with us shaking and pouting and talking and laughing and enjoying ourselves when we come in. But when it's time for the service to start, that's when we need to put all that aside and join ourselves together in one with God. I've heard this said before, that you ought to enter God's house in a more humble manner than all the talking and everything goes on. But I don't necessarily think that he is unpleased with us joining ourselves together and enjoying seeing one another and bringing, you know, talking about what we've done. I don't see anything wrong with that. But when it comes time for the service to start, we need to put all that aside and we need to focus on one thing, and that's on serving God. If we're failing to do that, then we're failing God, because that's what we're here for. We're here to hold him up. We're here to present a place that people can come to where they can hear the gospel, where they can seek his salvation, where they can feel the drawing power of the Spirit. And that's what our duty is here.
Don't you think, though, that when we come in and fellowship before church, between Sunday school and church, and after church, that showing the love we have for each
other? I think that's exactly what I think. And I don't think that's a bad thing.
I don't think it's bad.
Because, you know, part of the enjoyment, I believe, in serving God is being with his people. I mean, I think that's part of the whole picture, you might say. Sure, you can serve God just you and him alone. You can do that. But I think when we come together as a group of God's people, I think it's fine to share.
For me, there is no better feeling in the world than to be with a group of God's people.
Right. And you walk through that door, and your spirits lift. You know, your spirit lifts, and you see people that you love. And so I think it's part of our service that we love one another. That goes a long way to serving God. You know, he told us that was one of his commandments, to love one another. And I think that's just part of it. And I don't think we're showing disrespect to the house because we do love one another. How awful it would be if we walked in and couldn't stand one another. Now, how are you going to give God honor and glory for that if you just walk off to your seat and never speak to anybody? Don't say a word to anybody because you're mad. And you don't want to speak to them or something.
That would be awful.
It would. It'd be, and we've experienced that. You know, we've experienced that. I mean, maybe everybody's experienced that. I don't know. But it's not a good feeling. I'd much rather be standing up here trying to get the song service started and everybody's back there talking and I have to quiet them down. That's fine with me. Because when I look back there and see everybody talking and shaking hands and hugging one another and talking about what they're doing, it makes me feel good. Now, there's a lot of people probably wouldn't agree with me on that, but it makes me feel good. And if I got to get her to play the introductory chord and get everybody quiet down, that's okay. That's all right. That doesn't bother me. Because I look back and I see a group of happy people. And I think that's what you need to serve God, is happy people. Happy to be with one another, happy to be in here in this building, and happy to serve God.
We're supposed to love the brethren. That's how we know that we have the love of God within us, right, is that we love the brethren. We do have love for our brothers and sisters.
And it's not just here. It's wherever you go.
It is.
It's very church. You know it.
It is. It is. Yeah.
We went to Park's Paradise. We know the priest and sat in our Sunday school class. And it was just like sitting here.
Yeah.
And people talk here. Steve's brother come visit us in our Bible one time. He goes to some people church over here where people got up and testified and talked, and he was just at all with it. He's like, I just can't believe that people have the liberty to do that. And if we walk in and sat down, and somebody's like, you hear a pin drop here in service, yeah. Just, I'm like, why? Why would you go to that?
Right.
What did you possibly get out of it? To go in and go through the motions and, you know, ask people that don't know and just, I don't understand it.
And that's why it behooves us, did it, when we have visitors coming here, to greet them.
Yeah.
And let them walk away from here and saying, that's the most friendliest church I've ever been in my life. That would do us a world of good. A world of good. Us, it would do us a world of good to hear that they think that we're one of the friendliest churches that ever been. Talk your ear off. Let them know you love them being here.
They might come back.
They might. And even if they don't come back, they'll go away knowing that we care for them.
And you never know who's going to come in. You know, we may be entertaining angels in prayer.
Bible says that.
Yes, you never know.
The Bible says that. So, we have to respect the church. Now, I know we have off days. I understand that. I kind of got, I kind of grinned when I was reading Brother Vanderpool's introduction down there. It says, do idle texting, twittering, Facebooking, etc. have a place during our worship services? Well, that's in today's standards. Now, you can't tell me that our forefathers, our grandfathers, and our great-grandfathers, and our great-great-great-grandfathers didn't sit in church and look out at the clouds rolling in and think, my goodness, I've got to get that hanging before the rain hits. You see, there's always some distraction that's been going on. It's not just today with the texting and the twittering and sometimes you hear a phone ring. It's not just today. I think this has been going on forever. It's just human nature that sometimes our mind drifts off and the women are maybe having the preacher come over for lunch after church services. All she can think about is getting that stove heated up and getting the fried chicken going and making some cornbread. We all have this stuff run through our mind and we all kind of drift sometimes. But, be that as it may, we still are responsible to come in with our mind and our heart on God. And so, don't let this discourage you. about is what he said here, this out of Texas and stuff going on in today's church, because I think it's going on forever. But still, the people, forethought in everybody's mind should be serving God and doing His will, that He might look down upon His people and bless us. And He has. He has blessed us many times. You know, there's nothing better than to feel His Spirit here working amongst us. And His Spirit is not going to be here working amongst us if we are not doing what He would have us to do. And it's easy to find out what He wants you to do. Just ask Him and see what it is. So let's respect the house of God. Let's don't put ourselves in a position to where we would anger God because of our actions and our things that we do that would be contrary to His will. I mean, here we have a temple that was built. Of course, it's been rebuilt a couple of times by the time Jesus was here. But it was built for one purpose, and that was to serve God. Yet, they had got away, the Jews had got away from that. They were serving God in their own way, not in God's way. They were serving it in their own way. And we must remember that God is the head of this kingdom. And with Him being the head of it, we follow what He has for us to do. And that's what this church needs to do, to follow and respect His wishes. Anyone have anything to say? Yeah, but you know what they also used to do? They used to stand outside and smoke. And when I was a boy, that's what the men did. Men all stood out around the church and smoked. Now, I don't know how much respect that was, but that's just the way it was. That's the way they did it.
Well,
when
you and I were kids, if it's about bridging a handshake, they went back to the
corners. Yeah, turn it on. But the funny part about it, nobody thought that that was a mistake. Everybody just, the men stood outside and smoked, and the women and the kids all stayed inside the building and shouted.
Shoot back.
Yeah.
Spit back to the dog.
So, you know, it's just an ongoing thing. It's, nothing's changed. It's just we're in a different time, but still everything
is. Sand is the same, right?
Yeah, right. Exactly. Exactly. And respect is respect. Respect is respect. Anyone else?
Or I like to quote from Bobby, it says that Jesus physically appeared in our midst, but we act differently, talk differently, look differently in our eyes of God.
You know, Jimmy, I think we would. Because I don't think we're 100% there. And I think we would kind of straighten ourselves up a little bit.
Even if you get a preacher done this way, you act a little different. You know, I'm doing that.
That's true. Yeah, sometimes we do. But, you know, Don, I think that's because we're all used to one another. We come every Sunday and we're all used to one another. And you get a visitor coming, you might straighten up a little bit. You might adjust your tie. You might do a little different. But I think we would act a little different if Jesus walked in today.
And that's what's sad, because He knew before, during, and after.
I know.
He
already knows.
Why, He already did.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, He already knows. It's way too late.
And just not in church. Think about if Jesus came to your house. What are we going to do differently?
It's a good thought. All of a sudden it'll grow exponentially.
Yeah.
Anyone else? Jimmy, would you dismiss us, please?
Oh, thank you for this day. Thank you for your new lessons. Thank you.
blessing from the Father to us. Church, I will ever sing the love of God for us. Love, man. I bid you know of us. We go sing with your wisdom. This man we pray. Amen.
Look at the sign I found in here. How many of us do this?
I can honestly say I do that. I couldn't say that for a long